Good morning, Holland. Goeie morgen. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you a very happy new year, and above all, a blessed new year. I hope that the weekly Hour of Power broadcast will help you maintain a personal relationship with our loving God. God really loves you. He created you. That's why he can love you. You are his idea. And he has a special plan for your life. I would like to thank all of the donors who made it possible for me to stay on the air in Holland. I am completely Holland Dutch. Holland was my family's homeland. I appreciate you. You have made a difference, so thank you.
Good morning, Holland. Thank you for joining us here on the Hour of Power. I think of you often, and you are in my prayers as we continue to find new and exciting ways to bring the Hour of Power to you. I would also like to take this time to thank you. Thank you for your prayers and your support, and a happy new year. God bless you, and always, always remember that God loves you, and so do we.
En wij sluiten ons van harte aan bij de nieuwjaarswensen van dominee Schuller en Sheila Coleman-Schuller. Wij wensen alle kijkers van Out of Power Nederland van harte een heel goed en gezegend nieuw jaar toe. En dat zijn geen loze woorden, dat menen we, want we voelen ons echt hecht met u verbonden en u met ons, gezien de vele reacties die we in het afgelopen jaar hebben gekregen. We begrepen, de kerk in Amerika gaat door een moeilijke tijd, maar ik kan u oprecht zeggen dat u op Out of Power Nederland kunt rekenen. Wij hopen het hele jaar door weer met prachtige uitzendingen te komen die u zullen bemoedigen en sterken in uw geloof, want daar gaat het om. Dominee Schuller spreekt zometeen in de Christelijke Kathedraal aan het begin van het nieuwe jaar over een prachtige belofte uit de Bijbel. En je kunt hem terugvinden in de Efezebrief. Dat God ons meer geeft dan wij kunnen denken, bidden of beseffen. En als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland in dit nieuwe jaar een dynamische 82-jarige, een zeer bekende naam in de christelijke wereld, Anne van der Bijl. Hij schreef vele boeken die in miljoenen exemplaren verkocht zijn. Wordt bij de grote christelijke leiders van de wereld gerekend. En Anne, goedemorgen. Gelukkig nieuwjaar.
Ja. Jij ook. En een hele jaar door dan. Ja. Ik ben met u.
Ja. Zullen we het daar straks over hebben?
Ja.
Akkoord. En wij gaan naar de Christelijke Kathedraal om daar te luisteren en te kijken naar prachtige muziek.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Morning. A wow morning. I've seen it. First church service. What a sermon you're going to get. Shake hands with somebody behind you, in front of you. Give them the blessing. God loves you, so do I. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel the presence. Feel the presence. Now, and think of some rooms you've been in. Maybe there was a bar and some were drinking too much. Maybe it was a courtroom and you had to listen to the arguments. Maybe it was in your company where you worked and somebody jealous was making their presentation and skipping you. We all know where we have had our disappointments.
And we come and we get applauded on our back by Jesus Christ, who simply says, "Hi, friend. Glad you're here." And so, Lord, we are at a place of redemption, renewal, forgiveness, encouragement, dream making. And that's what happens here. It is your presence, your power, and we are your children. Amen. Be seated. Oh Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my secret thoughts. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You protect me behind and before, and laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. This is the word of the Lord.
I am so excited to be able to introduce to you a new friend, a man I had a chance to meet this morning. Many of you know his son, Blake. Blake Cook, who is a NASCAR driver. Do you remember when Blake was here and he brought his NASCAR? God Speaks NASCAR. Well, Blake is a wonderful man of God. He uses his platform to help people know more about God and about Jesus Christ. Well, Blake is his father, Mark, is one of the reasons Blake is the amazing man of God that he is today. And so I'm really anxious to introduce to you Mark Cook. Mark, come on down.
Come on down. Come on up.
Come on up.
I learned something. What a passionate spirit you have,
yeah,
for the Lord.
Thank you.
And I tell, as I said when I walked in here, I could just feel the spirit in this church,
and you, Mark.
Things are about to happen.
They are. Tell the people a little bit about yourself and your testimony, Mark.
My background, I was the big shot Hollywood producer, I used to say, until God decided to show me that I wasn't the big shot and that He's in control and everything. And I did the movie Lost in Space.
Yes.
And I did Black Dog with Patrick Swayze.
Wow.
Had two top 10 films out at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Had an ego the size of Manhattan. And living an ungodly life. You know, being in the Hollywood A-leagues as far as when it goes to staying out and partying and doing all the things that I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And without a relationship with God. And in December 1997, I'll never forget it. You always remember that special time in your life.
Yeah.
That I was truly lost in space.
Wow.
And I now look and I realize the reason God gave me the credit to make that movie was because I actually have a testimony out called Lost in Space, Saved by Grace.
Wow.
And thank God for God coming into my life.
Yes.
So I often look back that, you know, there's no coincidence that I'm standing here and my new passion is about this nation and the shape we're in.
Yeah.
And it's really all because it's us people also veered away from the godly principles
Yes.
Of our founding fathers, which is the Ten Commandments. So this is a special day. God laid a vision on my heart that if the only really way to save this nation, so to speak, mm-hmm. besides God, because he's the only one that can save it, but it's when we cry out to him. And God laid a vision, if you heal the man, he will heal his family, and the family can heal the nation.
Let's give that. Don't we want that? We want that. We want our nation healed. Yeah.
I believe that's our only hope. I really do. Yeah. We cry out in prayer. And there's another vision, like I get these visions or dreams or whatever, and I was driving down the road, and God laid in my heart, you know, America's like a big house, and all the families in America are the rooms in it.
Hmm.
And you can't have a clean house when the rooms are dirty.
Yeah.
And God laid in my heart that if we can get us men, and I was one of them with a dirty room, get us men to get back to a daily relationship with God and seek for obedience and strive for him, spend time. And that's what this book's about. It's giving God an hour a day in the morning.
Yeah.
And we get right with God and lead our family. And us men rise up and become the spiritual leaders of our house. Then our family will follow our footsteps.
Wow.
And the nation will start to
Wow. Wow. It's great, great dream. And his book is called The First Hour for Men. But it's about men giving God the first hour of their day.
For 30 days.
For 30 days.
It's a lifetime thing. But you know what we're calling this? We're calling it God's boot camp, and it's a 30-day study, and you've seen it. It's very simple. I was an average C student, so I made it. The guys out there will love this. There's just seven simple steps, and you just check it off to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not going to do it. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said, I'm going to go read the Bible. I'm going to read the whole New Testament in 30 days, and you just don't. But by checking these things off, but the most important thing on this is that you have to spend time with your children.
Mm, that's right.
Half hour a day.
Right.
In bedtime prayer.
Right.
You have to spend time with your wife an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
Most men go,
with That's with where we women prayer, have to be nice during that hour.
With bedtime prayer. And by the end of the 30 days, I'm so excited about this. I just want to go for it. But you can't spend, a man can't spend 30 days with God for an hour each morning without change. So many men are hurting out there right now.
Yeah.
The harvest is ripe.
Right.
They're losing their jobs. They're losing their families. They're losing their marriages.
Yeah.
They're losing their homes. God is calling out to them. And we have seen miracles happen in the men's lives that are truly committing to this.
Yeah.
And really pouring their heart out to God on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And we're giving them away. Our goal is to get a million books
yes,
out there.
Yes, he's not selling these books. He's giving them away. Can you give him a hand for that? He's giving them away.
But there's a catch, remember?
Okay, yeah, there's a catch. Before you get to the catch, I want to make sure that all you men know that he's given you the tools you will need. Because some of you are going a whole hour, I don't know where to begin, I wouldn't know what to do, what to say, what to pray. But 30 minutes in prayer, 30 minutes in scripture, he gives you the actual prayers to pray if you need to. You can pray the prayers. They're right in here. He gives you the scripture to go to,
That's
what
right.
to read, what to study. So it's all right here. It's very simple. He's given you absolutely everything you need. So that takes away all that fear and anxiety. So he's giving him away with a catch.
The catch is, first of all, and in those 18 prayers, you have to
yes.
pray for your wife. You have to pray for your children. You pray for your job. It's just amazing. I could go on and on with it. But the catch is, to get your free book, you have to do three commitments, solid commitments. First commitment is, you have to commit to do the course.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to give free books away. It's a beautiful book that's just going to lay around. You have to make a solid commitment that I'm going to do this 30-day boot camp and stick to it. It's not easy. Second commitment is, that they commit to go on to riseup.us and log on at 5:55 in the morning. And when they read the story behind the study, they'll realize why it's that early.
And that's on Monday morning.
On Monday morning, once a week.
Right.
See, each day there's a prayer for the nation.
Right.
But once a week, us men in America need to rise up together as an army for this nation.
Right.
And call out to God as an army.
And you all come together as an army
that's
online
right.
on
that's
Monday.
Right.
Monday morning at 5:55
yep.
a.m., right?
Yep. And the third and final catch that I'm really excited about is you have to give five books away, free. Two books to fellow believers, and that's the easy part. Just hand them to your friends. Books change my life. It's great. And three books, that's where my heart is, to do your duty in the Great Commission You got to give 3 books, share them with friends that you know do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
If we all gave God the first hour of our day and made a commitment starting out for just 30 days, I promise you it won't be just 30 days.
Oh, it won't be.
But what will happen to not only our nation, but to our world? To families. And we are in crisis. We need this. And I'm so thrilled that you've done this, Mark, because the Bible verse that comes to mind is this one. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Our land needs healing. We know how to do it. This is the way. You've given us the tool. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Okay, man, are you going to do it?
That's right.
Are you going to do it, man? Can I hear some amens? Can I hear some hallelujahs from you, man? We're going to do it. Heal our land. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
I'm so thrilled to be able to welcome back beautiful May Nalasa, this little, beautiful, precious girl with the huge, powerful voice. I don't know where it comes from. Must come from the Lord. She has a new CD, You Set Me Free. Thank you, May.
I feel low, it's still I.
En dat was zangeres May Nalisa. Die zong over het feit dat je nooit moet opgeven. Nou, de man die ik als eerste in dit programma mag interviewen in het nieuwe jaar is een heel bijzondere korsganger. Hij ging, toen niemand dacht aan het feit dat in Oost-Europa, waar de kerk vervolgd werd, dat de christenen daar ondersteund zouden moeten worden met bijbels, in zijn eentje met een kar vol bijbels naar Rusland. En zo werd hij bekend als Gods smokkelaar. Een simpele jongen uit Noord-Holland, die achteraf niet zo simpel bleek, want hij heeft meer dan 15 boeken geschreven, meer dan 40 talen vertaald, tientallen miljoenen zijn ervan verkocht. En Anne van der Bijl is vanmorgen mijn gast, onze gast in het nieuwe jaar van Hour of Power. Anne, goedemorgen.
Hey, dat vind ik leuk. Ja, goed.
82.
Ja, ja.
82 jaar jong.
Is dat zo? Ja. Ik ben de tel kwijtgeraakt.
Ja. Onvermoeibaar, toch?
Nou, wel moeier word ik, ja. Het gaat niet meer zo gemakkelijk, maar ik heb nu toch weer 4 reizen achter elkaar gemaakt. Ik kom nu net terug uit Pakistan, dus het gaat nog steeds door.
Anne, wat mij fascineert dat jij als overtuigd christen spreekt met mensen die daar eigenlijk niet zoveel mee hebben. De Taliban, moslimstrijders, Hezbollah. Waarvoor doe je dat?
Omdat Jezus ook voor hen gestorven is. Ik weiger dus een vijandsbeeld te ontwikkelen van welk mensenkind ook. Want een terrorist wordt niet geboren, die wordt terrorist gemaakt. Zo net zo lief en onschuldig geboren als jij en ik. Het mag dan heel lang geleden zijn, maar ik weet het nog. Maar dan kun je ze ook weer hermaken tot gewone mensen. En dat kan alleen de geest van God en de liefde van Jezus. Dus breng dan Jezus dan bij de enige echt actieve, effectieve in de strijd tegen terrorisme.
Maar hoe doe je dat dan? Want het zijn Taliban toch niet mensen waar je makkelijk toenadering tot hebt?
Waarom niet?
Ja, dat denk ik.
Nee, je moet er alleen naartoe gaan. Maar dat is heel de boodschap van Matteüs 25. Je moet er naartoe gaan. Dat staat in de Bijbel. En wie heeft nou al die barrières opgeworpen? Dat is in ons denken, in ons cultuurpatroon. En wij denken in dat het onmogelijk is. Dat kan je niet maken. Je kan het wel maken. Je kan naar elke, dat woord terrorisme wil ik niet gebruiken, Koranschool toe of andere hoofdkantoren, of dat Hezbollah is of Islamic Jihad of Hamas. Maar het maakt allemaal niks uit. Je kan er zo naar binnen lopen. En heb jij ook wel eens gedaan, man. Ja. En ik weet het nog. Maar, en dan ga je over Jezus vertellen, want andere boodschap hebben we toch niet?
En daar is een open oor en een open hart.
Het feit dat jij daar komt, dat betekent al dat de harten en de deuren open zijn. En ik weet wel, toen ik voor het eerst in Peshawar bij de Taliban was en dat was uitgelekt, de hele pers was daar. Er stond de volgende dag in de kranten met foto's over heel Afghanistan. En ik kreeg boze brieven van christengelovigen in Afghanistan. Anne, dit is een evil place. Ik zei, nou, daarom was ik er net juist.
Ja.
Dus hoe bekijk je het? Juist waar de boosheid, de zonde heerst, daar moeten we naartoe met de boodschap van Jezus' verlossing.
Maar dan ben je 82. En wat drijf je dan om dit te doen op die hoge leeftijd?
Nou, omdat ik 83 worden wil. Doorgaan. Er is toch geen leeftijdslimiet. Onze enige roeping is om te zeggen, mensen, ga door. Heb God lief. En als je God niet lief kan hebben, ga dan met hem vechten. Maar wat je ook doet, laat hem niet los. En dat is mijn boodschap.
Hoe vecht je met God?
Moet je Jacob lezen. Ik laat u niet gaan tenzij gij mij zegent.
Ja.
En daardoor werd Jacob Israël. Dat is de overwinning. En anders hadden we geen Israël gehad vandaag. Mensen die vasthouden aan God, dan heb je een boodschap. Want de boodschap die wij allemaal zo nodig hebben, of het toegeven is, vergeving. Wat is die vergeving? Dat ik anderen leer vergeven. Want God biedt ons die vergeving aan. En dan gaat de hele bal rollen van vergeving. En dan geeft het weer hoop. Dat is de tweede noot die ik zie ook voor het nieuwe jaar. Mensen hebben haast geen hoop meer. Maar ze worden wanhopig. Er is geen enkele reden. Want God is nog op de troon. Jezus leeft. Want dat is de hoop die ik dan geef aan de mensen. Dit boek. Dit is mijn visitekaartje. Ja. Dit is mijn naamkaartje. Dit is mijn businesskaartje. Ja. En dit boek heeft het. Het enige boek in de wereld wat hoop geeft. Het enige boek wat zegt waar je naartoe kunt gaan naar de hemel als je sterft. Het enige boek in de wereld wat vertelt hoe je zonden vergeven kunnen worden. Maar het is ook het enige boek wat zegt dat het niet religie is, maar een relatie. Dus toen ik...
Dan, is dat niet erg pretentieus wat je allemaal zegt?
Wat?
Is dat niet erg pretentieus wat je allemaal zegt?
Als Jezus zegt, ik ben de waarheid, dan in mijn hart moet ik toegeven dat dan de rest een leugen is. Anders ben je niet radicaal. Maar er is verschil tussen fanatiek zijn en radicaal. Ik wil wel radicaal zijn, maar ik weiger fanatiek te zijn.
Wat is Gods belofte voor dit nieuwe jaar? 2011.
Ik ben met u. Nou, dat is niet een belofte, dat is een statement. Als hij zegt, ik zal met je zijn, is het een belofte. Hij zegt, ik ben met je. Dat is de zekerheid waar we het nieuwe jaar mee in mogen gaan. Ik ben met je. Ja, maar ik ga naar die terroristen. Geef niet, ik ben met je. Ja, maar ik ga naar mijn buurman. Ik ga naar de fabriek. Geef niet, ik ben met je. En de bron van alle leven is met me. Wie kan mij stoppen? Wie kan mij tegenhouden? Wie kan mijn plan dwarsbomen? Ik moet dat gewoon maar doen en de consequenties aan hem overlaten. Ik denk dat we daar te berekenend voor zijn.
Maar er zullen heel veel mensen zeggen, ik voel het niet, ik merk het niet, ik kan het niet.
Je moet ook zelf de deur open willen doen. Dat is één. De andere kant, er zijn mensen die inderdaad weinig ervaren van zijn nabijheid. De allerverdrietigste regel in de hele Bijbel is waar iemand zegt, niemand zorgt voor mijn ziel. Nou, dat wil ik wegnemen, want er is iemand die voor jouw ziel zorgt. En voor jouw lichaam en voor je hele bestaan. Die zegt, ik ben met je. Open dan ook de deur van je hart en zeg, kom dan binnen, Heer. Mag ik dat dan merken dat u met me bent? Dan zegt God, hier is mijn woord. Wees mijn vriend en lees en ga erop in wat ik zeg. En dan ga je dat toe-eigenen. Dat wordt elke dag weer beter dan de dag ervoor. Dan merk je, ook in de praktijk, niet alleen op zondagochtend, niet alleen op je hoogtij ogenblikken, dat je op je knieën weet ik van wat. Nee, elke dag, ik ben met je, dan hoor je het hem zeggen. Ik ben met je. Moeilijk, bezoek, sollicitatiegesprek, examen. Ik ben met je. In al die omstandigheden, door het jaar heen, hoor je dan die stem, ik ben met je? Dat is de uitspraak van een werkelijkheid. Het is niet een belofte, het is niet een droom. Het is ook niet eens een geloof. Het is een statement, ik ben met je. Mooier kan het niet, zo kan ik toch het nieuwe jaar in.
Anne, mag ik je bijzonder hartelijk bedanken dat je hier vanmorgen aanwezig bent. Ik ken je bijna mijn leven lang. En mag ik ook zeggen dat je heel veel voor mij betekend hebt. Door persoonlijk, maar ook door je boeken. En die uitspraak die je net deed, ik ben met je, die draag ik mee het nieuwe jaar in. En ik hoop ook heel veel kijkers dat je denkt, hey, dat hoor ik aan het begin van het nieuwe jaar. Waar je ook bent, wat de situatie ook is, ik ben met je. Ja, in het komende jaar hopen we heel veel bijzondere mensen te interviewen. Binnenkort de minister van Onderwijs, Marja van Bijsterveld. De man die een half jaar in Afghanistan werd gegijzeld. Peter, die vrijgekomen is, komt ook zijn verhaal vertellen. Dus we hopen op heel veel bijzondere uitzendingen. En Anne, ik wil jou niet laten gaan zonder een bijzonder boek mee te geven. En dat is het tableboek van de Crystal Cathedral. Je hebt er zelf ook een paar keer gesproken. Je hebt daar gestaan.
Ik heb er drie keer gesproken.
Ja.
Ja, mooi is dat, hè?
Ja.
Hartstikke bedankt,
Jan. Oké, niet te hard, hè?
Krijg jij een kleintje van mij?
Dank je wel. Nou, het is bijzonder om dit van jou te mogen ontvangen.
Ja.
Ik zal er graag in lezen, want je hebt gezegd, ik ken hem niet, dat het in een bijzondere manier herschreven is. Wij gaan, nogmaals Anne, bedankt, terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. I got a crown up in the kingdom. Ain't that good news? I got a crown up in the kingdom. Ain't that a good news? I'm gonna lay down this world. I'm gonna shoulder up my cross. I'm gonna take it home to my Jesus. Ain't that good news? I got a harp up in the kingdom. Ain't that good news? I got a harp up in the kingdom. Ain't that good news? I'm gonna lay down this world. I'm gonna shoulder up my cross. I'm gonna take it home to my Jesus. Ain't that good news? Ain't that good news?
Yes, I'm one of the ministers here and have been hanging around for 54 years. Hallelujah. Right. Still alive. And my biggest job has been to exercise my faith. How big is your faith? Is it big enough for God to fit in? Question is, how big is your God? What is the lifespan of your God? We are here, as we are every week, to grow in spirit so that we become the persons God wants us to be. One of my favorite stories I choose to tell again this morning. This man is fishing off a pier. He would catch a fish. He'd pick up a broken ruler, broken at the 10-inch mark, and he would measure the fish. And if it was 10 inches or less, he'd throw it in the bucket. If he caught the fish and it was over 10 inches, he threw it back. Well, a silent watcher observed this, thought the fisherman was crazy. Finally, he asked, "Why do you throw the big ones away? Keep the little ones." Fisherman answered, "My frying pan is only 10 inches wide." Now we laugh at that. The good news is we commit the same mistake again and again in life. Ideas come plunging into our consciousness. We don't ask for them. Yes, sometimes we do, but mostly we have living brains that can receive ideas and concepts and beliefs and impressions. Some are small enough so they're safe. No danger of failure there. So we embrace them. But some of the ideas are too big, therefore too dangerous. And so we let them go. We throw them back to wherever they came from, even if it may have been from God. So life's a matter of measuring and managing ideas that come into your brain. Whoa. It's a God's challenge, is to stretch our thinking, to get us to think bigger than we are. He does this by reminding us that the worst that happens if we think too big is we may fail, and failure is no sin, but the lack of faith is. So we have to learn to dream the dream.
Dear God, give me the courage to grab hold of the dream you have for my life. Dream is bigger than I am, and if I go for it, I may fail. Dear God, biggest failure is if I don't have the faith to try. Don't let me be fearful so that I'll be too scared to reach out for something bigger than I am. Try to search out the things God has for your life today. The longer I live, the more astonished I am at how God takes simple people like me and you and give us positive thoughts that are shocking. Job chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Can you search out the deep things of God? He has deep things for you. Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. Wow. Don't limit first the lifespan of God. We tend to think in terms of God's working in our lives, in our own lifespan. But when we utter our last breath, God is not finished with what we have done while we were alive. No, we prayed prayers. And those prayers are still on the throne of God. Yeah. Yes, and we have done good works. And they don't die when we pass away. Our lives are eternal. Not only souls floating and feasting in heaven, but they're eternal. And what happens in the lives we have touched in our lifespan on planet Earth? Is your frying pan big enough for God to fit in? Yeah. Think bigger than you've ever thought before. And you're wondering what Jesus Christ brought to the world that with nothing, his passing left the greatest faith on planet Earth, Christianity. What did it have? I want you to hear the Bible verse again, which you've heard many times from me. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask, seek, or think. So don't limit God today. And my message to whoever is listening anywhere in the world, in English or in a translation, I say to you, don't limit God. With him, all things are possible. In Scripture, we have an interesting story. One afternoon, Jesus spoke from the shore at Galilee, and great crowds pressed in on him to hear his message. He noticed Peter and another fisherman washing their nets nearby. Stepping into an empty boat, Jesus asked Peter to push out in the water so I can address the crowds from the boat. Peter agreed. And then when he finished talking, Jesus said to Peter, "Now go out to where the water is deeper and catch some fish." "But Jesus," Peter said, "I toiled all night and caught nothing." Powerful words. I've been a fisherman all my life. I know what it's like to toil all night and catch nothing. You begin to wonder, are there any fish left? Well, Peter toiled all night, no results. When he heard these words, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, Peter did as he was told. Suddenly he felt not just the weight of the net in his hand, but a heavier weight, and then heavier, the weight of a catch of fish. Yes, all Jesus said to him, start over again. Well, what do you do when you toiled on a project or an idea or a plan and caught nothing? What does Jesus say? He looks at you with your empty net. He doesn't say sorry. He simply says, start over again. Time after time, when you think you should quit, there aren't any more fish there. Season is past. All you hear him say is, start over again. First, you look out for your worst enemy, and that's the person you look at in the mirror every morning. That's the only person who can defeat you. Start over again, but listen to advice that comes from positive thinking experts. You know, they're experts. Negative thinking experts, positive thinking experts. And you've heard me say it. Greatest enemy in your life is the negative thinking expert. Look out for positive thinking experts who will say, well, let's start over again, but this time with wind. Yes, the truth is we tend in disappointment times to kind of think there are no other fish in the sea and we're not catching any. And there may not be many tomorrows for you. God only knows how many tomorrows there are for you. And all you need is one tomorrow. That will change your eternity. Now, do not limit God. Do not limit the size of God, the power of God, the number of persons that God has on his team around the world. And any one of them would be enough to help you through your most difficult times. Don't limit the size of God's dream. And if the phone may ring, a letter may come, you may read something in a paper, and a powerful idea emerges in your consciousness. It is God coming to you. Don't limit the size of God. He is unlimited. With over a billion people who are believers on planet Earth. Don't limit the life of your dream if you think it's dead or dying and isn't going anywhere. God's dreams have no lifespans. Keep believing. Wow. I like the story. Judge was campaigning for re-election and was turning on his record of integrity. He was a distinguished, honorable gentleman of no small charity. And his opponent was introducing a vicious and smearing, unfair campaign against him. What could he do? At a news conference, a reporter stood and asked him, Your Honor, Do you know what your opponent is saying about you? Would you care a comment, please? The judge looked at his campaign counselors and the chairman of the committee. Then he looked at his audience and said calmly, "Well, when I was a boy, I had a dog. And every time the moon was full, the old hound dog would howl, bark at the things he saw in the bright face of the moon. We never did sleep well in full moons. He would bark and howl at the moon all night long." Then he said, "Thank you." Sat down. The campaign chairman stood up and said, "That's beside the point, sir. You haven't answered your critics." The judge replied, "I just did. When the dog barked at the moon kept right on shining. I don't intend to say anything back to my critics. I'm going to keep right on shining, quietly and calmly, like the moon." And that takes courage. And that's where we need God. How big is your frying pan? Are you facing death? Enormous tragedy, financially or physically? Remember this Bible verse, Proverbs 28, verse 1. The godly are as bold as lions. Be brave. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask, seek, or think. Yes. Dare to dream the impossible dream. Dare to hold on to the hopes, the highest ones that ever possessed you. And give God a chance to continue to bless you with a surprising tomorrow. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying. Thank you for expressing a faith in your silence. So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace, his presence, in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset or dawning, or only eternal life for you. Amen.
En zo sluiten we de eerste uitzending van Hour of Power af in dit zojuist begonnen jaar. En prachtige tekst uit Efeze, Efeze 3 vers 20 als je het na wil lezen, dat God in staat is veel meer te doen dan wij bidden of beseffen. We hopen heel veel bijzondere Nederlanders in Hour of Power Nederland te mogen ontvangen en heel veel bijzondere mensen ook in de Crystal Cathedral. En met bijzonder bedoel ik mensen zijn mensen, maar gewoon met hun verhaal en dat maakt het bijzonder. Zoals volgende week Thijs Verheul. Een 18-jarige trouwe kijker van Hour of Power die bijna in de jeugdraad van de Verenigde Naties werd gekozen. Thijs zet zich in voor kinderen met AIDS in Zuid-Afrika. En we zijn er best een beetje trots op dat hij een van onze jonge kijkers is en zo actief is. En we zijn blij en dankbaar met u de kijker van Hour of Power. En dat zijn er honderdduizenden. En we willen u bedanken voor uw steun, voor uw financiële bijdrage, maar vooral voor uw medeleven en voor uw gebed. Wij hopen, en nogmaals, ik heb het aan het begin gezegd, het hele jaar voor u er te zijn. Met ons gebedsteam, met onze programma's en met onze betrokkenheid bij ieder van u persoonlijk. Ik wens u een heel goed jaar toe. Ik ben met je. Wat een prachtige woorden. Mag ik daarmee afsluiten?